بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You tune in to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahi, on Radio Islam International and Simcast on CLS FM. This morning we're discussing a very controversial topic, respect for teachers. Now with the recent rise, I can't say recent rise because I think things, incidents like this have been carrying on for a long time, and now people are standing up, teachers are reporting it, teachers are not tolerating it anymore. According to the South African Democratic Teachers Union, SATU, which is more commonly known as SATU, assaults on teachers, assaults on teachers by pupils are a worrying trend. They seem to be escalating at a rapid pace. Also, this is as reported by the SATU spokesperson, Nomusa Thembi, in her interview with Time Live. In another interview with the Cape Argus in September, SATU reported that many teachers are leaving the profession because of the violence at schools. In the Northwest province, recently a teacher was stabbed to death by a pupil. In Gauteng, a pupil was arrested for pointing a gun at a teacher. And more than 60 attacks on Cape teachers have been recorded thus far. These are the ones that we know of. There are several other incidents that are currently going on around South Africa, and what are we going to do about it? Aside from the physical violence that teachers are exposed to or being attacked, there's the daily form of emotional abuse, verbal abuse, and a whole lot of other issues that teachers are faced with. And the question that teachers are asking is, what do we do? How are we protected? How do we deal with this? How do you bring to book a 16-year-old or even a 10-year-old that is rude and abrupt and has no respect for the teacher? So today in my panel discussion, I have Mu'allima Afazakira Ansamia from Radio Islam International, Sister Shana Suji, who is a principal at a local school in Lanesia, and Fahima Bam, who is an educator at one of the high schools in Johannesburg. So they're going to be sharing some of their views with us. And we invite parents to call us as well. If you have any opinions regarding this issue, please call us on 011-854-1548. Like I said, respect for teachers, something very important, something that we tend to forget, even as teachers. I myself am an educator. I need to say that this first and foremost is a reminder for myself. Why did I get into this profession? An educator is a parent in absentia. For the amount of time that we spend with the learners, we actually, in some instances, spend more time with your children than you do for, that is our, for the duration that we are there. The things that go on in class, a lot of the knowledge that needs to be imparted, aside from there, a lot of the life skills that are taught to the children do come from the educators. And often when a problem arises, there can be arguments with parents, there can be misunderstandings, all that seems to be forgotten. I think a very important thing that we need to realize, that when it comes to educators, and I'm talking about educators in a school, I'm talking about educators in a madrasa, I'm talking about this idea, there's no such thing as them and us. It's not the teachers and the children and the parents all on three different sides. We are all in this together. Parents and educators are on the same team. Yes, there will be differences of opinion. Yes, there will be issues that are arising, but it needs to be done in a loving and respectable manner, because at the end of the day, our focus and our objective is to ensure that your child gets the best education and is groomed to be a purposeful human being in society, inshallah. So having said this, I have Afazakira Ansamia on the other side. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Afazakira Ansamia.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sister Bibi Aisha. Jazakallah khair for the opportunity to be on your panel. It's an absolute pleasure.
Ameen, only a pleasure. Always, always a pleasure to learn from you. And you know, my listeners always enjoy the advice that you give to us.
Alhamdulillah. Today I have been tasked with a rather colossal task, one to try and explain to students why they ought to be respecting their teachers. But at the same time, as I choose to explain this to those students that are listening, I'd like to also address the teachers that are listening in today. So we'll start off, inshallah, with the topic at hand that I was given. So when we speak about why we need to respect our teachers, you know, I was telling a fellow Apa Mualima at Madrasa not long ago, I think it was maybe in this week or last week, that one of the most amazing things was that we saw in our years at Madrasa that sometimes those students who didn't even do all that well in their studies turned out being the most brilliant teachers when they came out and when they left Madrasa. And this was something that we couldn't always understand, you know, because we were in class with that person and you saw what they were like, you know. They found it difficult and they had a great deal of difficulty understanding, etc. So when they changed and when they've become the most amazing teachers, you tend to question. And the only thing that could come to my mind that could explain this was that one of our teachers once said to us that it is not what you learn in class, but it is how you learn it. The amount of respect that you show to your teacher and the silent du'as that flow from those teachers' lips are what carry you a long, long way. And therefore, sometimes those students who may not have even understood a lot of, you know, whatever it was that was being taught in the class, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divinely makes it such that they're able to pass on this knowledge that, you know, they have received in such a way that it seems like, you know, they're so brilliant and they're so amazing. And I know this is more from an Islamic perspective that I'm speaking about, because obviously we understand the whole concept of thawab and, you know, respect from that perspective.
Yes.
But even if I were to explain it from a different angle, from an angle that perhaps those of other religions and ethnicities could understand it. Back in the day, Bibi Aisha, I know you bear me out on this one.
Yes, yes.
Was that when you entered a classroom, you knew that you were governed by a certain degree of decorum, and you know, your parents had given you this morale that you needed to, there were certain morals and values that you needed to uphold and you needed to keep in place. So never mind what your religion was, you knew that this was something that you were brought up with at home. So I am going to take this opportunity to add on to what you said a few minutes ago, where you said it's not us and them. Because when you teach your children respect for their teachers at home, that is what is being bred in them, and that's what they're going to show when they get into the classroom environment. We cannot speak derogatively about the teachers of our children in front of them, even though we may have a bone to pick with the teacher. Rather do that in a way where you're going to go, you know, you can either meet the teacher at a parent-teacher consult, you're going to make an appointment to meet the teacher and explain to them what your difficulties are that you are finding and, you know, whatever it is you'd like to discuss with them. Explaining this in front of a child, they lose absolute respect for their teacher. And that is where we find situations arising where children now, having no more respect for this teacher, would choose to, you know, beat teachers up, be arrogant with them in class, be rude to them, show them absolutely no respect. This is where sometimes it may stem from. Not all the time, sometimes this is where it may stem from.
Make a lot of sense, yes.
Alhamdulillah, having explained that part of it, I'd now like to touch on the second aspect of that. And the second aspect of that I wanted to speak about was the whole teacher, being a teacher, but at the same time remembering that it's important for you as a teacher to show respect and dignity to the pupil, because it definitely has a ripple effect. And that we learn from none other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? There is one really amazing hadith that I would like to share with you, and perhaps you can just let me know how much more time I have and you'll go.
No problem, Abba, please go ahead.
So, Muawiyah ibn Hakam, radiallahu anhu, he was a Bedouin Sahabi. He would live on the outskirts and he would often come in only from time to time to Medina. And one of the instances that he came, and he says, it was after a long period of time that I had learned Deen, I came back to learn some more. And this is how the Sahaba were. They would learn, they would go practice, and they would come back and learn more like that. So he said, I came back, and it happened to be the time for Salah, and we were all standing in Saf. And one of the, and the Salah was obviously on, you know, we were praying Salah, we were in it. And one of the people next to me, one of the Sahaba next to him, sneezed. And so when they sneezed, because he was so eager, you know, whatever he learned, as I said, they were eager to practice. He said, Yarhamukallah. You know, he responded to the person's need.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately he says, and it's so beautiful, you know, I love reading how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were so, even though you are reading a text, it's almost like you can see this picture being painted right before your eyes. He says, Ramani al-Qawm bi absarin. The people started looking at me, you know, like, what's up with you?
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on and I carried on speaking and I said, what? You know? And he said, the more I said these things, the more they glared at me, and then they began hitting their hands on their thighs in order to show me that I should keep quiet. So finally I silenced. And when the salah was over, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for me. We sat down together and he very, very nicely explained to me that now salah is not about you know, it has been prohibited that you speak any form of normal human speech in it, and it's only Quran tilawa, tasbih, and takbir. But the words, look at the words, he says. He says that ma ra'aytu ahsana mu'alliman ta'diban minhu, that I didn't see someone better in teaching adab and in teaching respect than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that he didn't shout me, and he didn't, he wasn't even harsh in the way he spoke to me, and he definitely was not derogatory in the way that he spoke to me. He told me all of this, of my ways that were wrong, in such a beautiful manner that I automatically got the understanding that, okay, this is what needs to be done and this is what doesn't need to be done. Now, in a classroom situation as teachers, every single day, I think we're tested with this.
Most definitely.
There will be that one child that will test your patience in class. And, you know, drive you up the walls. But this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. You know, I heard someone giving a very beautiful analogy, and I'm going to wrap up with this, inshallah. And he said that if you look at the advice that was given to the sons of, that Ibrahim alayhi salam gave to his sons, and that Yaqub alayhi salam gave to his sons, it was the exact same advice. Yet, if we have to look at the sons, Ibrahim alayhi salam had Ishaq, and Ismail alayhi salam, both we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them most lavishly in the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we have to look at the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam, we see that they were the same sons that threw Yusuf alayhi salam into the well. So what do we see from this? Was the advice different? No. What we understand from this is that no matter who you are speaking to, no matter whether the child is a difficult child or whether the child is a child that is easy to deal with, the advice remains the same. We don't raise our voices. We need to raise our words. We need to be able to pass on this message to the child in a way that the child knows you're on their side and you're there to assist them. What often happens in a classroom situation where children, you know, go off the edge and they become even more difficult to deal with is when they start looking at us as the adversary. When children look at us in this light and from this manner, then that is when sometimes it's absolutely not the teacher's fault at all. You're doing your job and you're being as best as you could be to these students. But these students, you know, maybe the home environment wasn't good, maybe they're dealing with other issues, you know, in terms of family issues or whatever it may be, and that is why they're acting out. But when we look at this advice given, we understand that even when you're dealing with a difficult student, always try and sow the seeds of love in that child's heart, because sometimes the most hardest of students crumble and they become the biggest softies in your classroom.
Yes,
you will see that after a month, after a term of being with you and you constantly showing them this love and affection, they automatically change their perspective and they start behaving in a totally different manner.
Often they also want to just test your patience, especially when it's, you know, maybe in the beginning of the year, they're trying to see, okay, how far can I go with this woman? Now, how far can I go with this man? And that's when they do that. Gee. Again, always a pleasure to have you on air with me, Afa Zakir and Samia. Always a pleasure to have these gems of wisdom that you so willingly share. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance, sister.
It's an absolute pleasure. And so we meet again on the airwaves.
Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That is Radio Islam International's Afa Zakira and Sarmia, Sister Fahima Vam, Sister Shahana Suji, pearls of wisdom from Afa Zakira and Sarmia, beautiful advice following the practice of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Your views, ladies. Firstly, Jazakumullahu khairan for making the time to come on to Radio Islam International. Okay, your thoughts about the recent incidents that have been going around South Africa. I can't actually even say recent incidents because these problems have been there since the beginning of time. It's just now that teachers are taking a stand to say no more. A lot of it also, you know, we're referring to children that are in the high school situation. And again, like we said, you know, showing disrespect is not just physical. There are so many forms of disrespect, and you ladies are going to take us through that. Sister Shana Sufi, would you like to begin?
Assalamu alaikum. How are you, Bibi
Aisha? Alhamdulillah. I can see, you know, while we were, you know, doing the discussion, I could see the notes, because, you know, I'm speaking to a principal. Your sister Shana Suji is a principal. So all the issues of discipline comes to her first, and she's sitting with the whole school's issues, and she's probably thinking to herself, Apa Zakira and Sarmia, you didn't share a dua for me that I need to say. Is it in Allah Sabirin?
Amongst others, yes. You know, you're very right, Bibi Aisha, about the growing incidents of violence. And I think the scary thing is it's not just in the high schools. People just assume it's the teenagers and stuff. There's more and more happening in primary schools as well. And you spoke about various types of disrespect. Disrespect is not just getting up and slapping a teacher or swearing at the teacher or being verbally abusive. It's not doing their homework. For me, that's disrespect. It's not responding when you ask something. It's just walking in and out of a class as you please. You know, all of those are forms of disrespect. And a lot of it is the way children, and I shudder to say this, but sometimes you just have to be blunt and say it. It's the way they are brought up, unfortunately. You do, and you see the interaction, you know, you call in parents, and this very child is that way with his or her mother and father as well.
Mm-hmm.
They speak to them, there's no respect. Sometimes you get the mom sitting in the office crying. My child swears at me, he ignores me, he doesn't listen to me. So, you know, it's almost a two-edged sword, double-edged sword, if you look at it. But for me, I think a lot of this violence is advocated, unfortunately, through the exposure on media. Yes, again, you're in a quandary. Do you highlight the violence and what's happening and how people are being disrespected? Or do you mention it but not show it, because you go onto YouTube and Facebook and even on the news broadcasts and stuff, and you see this child hurling a chair at somebody, at the teacher, or you see them getting up and, you know, in the teacher's face. I'm sure you've seen that, the girls' incidents now and all of that. So, I'm a child, I look at this and I think, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get onto TV, and I'm going to get onto YouTube. So, where do you balance that? And I think it plays a very, very vital role in, I can do that, and I can be famous.
Yes,
maybe for some they look at it and they'll think, they shudder and they're going to think, oh God, you can't do things like that. But others know. I'm now popular and they're getting away with it.
And the thing is that, you know, it's like, if I can stand up to this teacher, then I'm cool. And then I earn that respect of my fellow, my friends, which again is, you're being famous for something negative.
Yeah, you're infamous almost.
Yes, and exactly.
You're strutting down school, the corridors, and you know that let's be honest, other teachers are now going to be very wary of you.
Of course.
So this child could do that to you, can do it to me. So what do? You start treating that child with kid gloves, which you shouldn't be. But do you antagonize the child and get that abuse thrown at you? Or do you almost like, you know, you're respecting, now you must respect him because you're afraid of what he's going
what
to do
going
to you?
What he's going to do to you. Afima Tham, what is your view on that?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
First of all, Jazakallah so much for having us back on your show. It's always a pleasure being with you and collaborating with you. And alhamdulillah, I think we always have so much to say that I'm afraid an hour is never enough.
Definitely.
I just have so much thoughts going through my mind. I resonate very closely with Appa as well as with Molly Mashana here. And I'm thinking about what they're saying, and there's so much truth in what has just been said about social media and peer pressure. In fact, if we look at children, there are two things that I think that influence them greatly. One is their home and one is their friends. And the thing about being at home is that how we as parents interact with each other as a couple, it directly has an impression on the children that are around you, firstly, and how we speak to them as well. That's the first thing. And the second thing with regards to peer pressure is that many a time children will who do not have attention at home will seek negative attention in the schooling or the madrasa environment.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, their sort of negative attention frustrates the teacher, but of course this child is getting some sort of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Hence they are, sorry for the words, they milk it for all it's worth.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Sorry to interrupt you. What we're going to do is we're going to break for ads and we're going to continue. Please, listeners, if you have something that you'd like to share with our listeners, with the rest of us, please call us on 011-854-1548. Inshallah, we're going to break for an ad and we will return shortly, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahey, on Radio Islam International and Simulcast on Sirius FM. Today we're talking about respect for teachers. In studio with me I have Sister Shahana Suji, who is the principal at one of the schools here in Indonesia, as well as Sister Fahima Bam, who is an educator at a high school in Johannesburg. Sister Fahima Bam, before we broke for the ad, you know, you were giving us some great advice about your opinion regarding disrespect shown to teachers from pupils. Please, if you can continue. Listeners, please do call us on 011-854-1548. If you have anything that you would like to share with us, please, we look forward to hearing from you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So there's a beautiful saying in English that goes that knowledge gives a person power, but it is character that gives you respect. And I think that is a very strong set of words. If you look at it and what it actually entails, we all require some degree of education and some degree of knowledge, but it's the character of a person that takes them very far.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every teacher can resonate this thought with me and agree with me when I say I'd rather have an average child with good respect than have a child that's a high flyer but shows arrogance and disregard for school, for authority, for their teachers, etc. And many a time, children, unfortunately, want to create this impression that they above the teacher, they above the school rules, etc. And that's the one aspect. The other thing is that in our introduction, in fact, Sister Pippi Aisha, you actually mentioned that one of the things about teaching is that we need to work together with the parents to give the children the best education they can get. And the thing about parents and teachers collaborating together is that, inshallah, if it is done correctly, whatever good values are enforced in the classroom can be also enforced at home.
Amen.
And if a teacher and a parent get along really well, subhanAllah, you'll find that even the child flourishes. So even if there's a problem but there's good communication, a teacher can then approach the parent in the most dignified way without making the parent feel like I'm picking on your child and say, look, we need to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And alhamdulillah, that relationship, I've seen it, it can work, but it takes both hands, it takes two hands, and of course both the teacher as well as the parent.
Do you feel that sometimes, you know, especially when children, I mean, in most of the times, obviously, when a child is being reprimanded, it's because he or she is doing wrong. No educator is going to excuse me. No educator is going to reprimand you if you are a good child. So when you know you've done something wrong and you're going to be punished, because I know when we were growing up, if you had to do something wrong at school, you would never come home and tell your parents, because your parents would beat you. They would say what your teacher says is the law, what your upper, your molana, as madrasa says is the law, and you were wrong. They don't want to hear your side. You were wrong. You go to school, you go with respect, and you do what you are told to do. So now, the child, let's say child X, has done something at school and goes home and plays the victim. I did this, and this is what my teacher did, or this is what he did, and he beat me, and whatever. Obviously, parents are going to get worked up. It's their child. They're going to worry what's going on. And then sometimes that approach, when they come into school, is hostile.
Mm-hmm.
They're defensive, and they're not listening to reason. They're angry. They're emotional. What happens then?
I think, first of all, we must understand something. You know what? Our deen itself and our faith, it preaches as well as encourages us to practice good values. And good values start from home. And you're speaking about an instant emotional reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I understand when you say in the yesteryear, if the parent heard the side of the teacher, the child was told you are wrong. And now we find that many parents will rather give the child the benefit of the doubt, and that lack of respect to authority is not there.
Mm.
You know, when we were, we speak back, generations back, if when the child went to school, the parent would tell the child, whatever your teacher says and dictates, you listen, immaterial.
Mm.
And now we find parents giving children the choice to listen to what they choose to and ignore what they want. That's the one aspect. Another thing that I feel, and I think Sister Zakira also mentioned this, is that, you know, parents should not speak of teachers in front of their children.
Yes.
For example, if you are speaking of some financial aspect in your home, as a husband and wife, you won't discuss it in the presence of your children. It's something that it's not for their ears. In a likewise manner, when it comes to anybody of authority, if we degrade and belittle them, we are already giving our children the opportunity to have the upper hand over these people.
Yes.
Because what happens is, if I as a mother in front of my children happens to say person X is like this, that and the other, this child's very high opinion of the person now changes.
Yes.
And this child, in the company of that person, suddenly won't make salam to that person, will look the other way, because the parents have shown a lack of respect. So what we have done now is taken a very good value that we've instilled years ago, and we've broken it down in seconds. So one of the things I think we need to get across, inshallah, to both our teachers and parents, is that, look, if we do have issues, don't discuss it in front of the learners. Don't discuss it in front of the children, because we are actually giving them the upper hand and reason to disrespect other people in authority.
Sister Sharana, you can attest to that. I mean, being the principal, you know, there's probably, or not probably, I know for a fact, there's been a lot of incidents that have come to your office, and you probably, I mean, you need to be judge, jury. I can't say executioner, but I'll say judge and jury in that.
You wish sometimes
matter.
You can.
Okay, please tell us, please remind us, what is the role of the educator, the muallima, the ustad?
Okay, firstly, you know, we were chatting off air about in loco parentis. We stand in for the parent. So we teacher, nurse, psychologist,
doctor, lawyer, policeman,
the whole tutti. I mean, I've washed wounds and put plasters on and caught a child when he fainted. We do these things. Parents don't see that when they're not there, we're there. And sometimes we see their children more than they do, because some of them get home at 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. It's Assalamu alaikum, how are you? Did you do your homework? Let's eat, and you're gone. We see them the whole day. We see the good, the bad, and the ugly of the child. And if you have this animosity all the time, your child is growing up with that as well. Because it's 200 days of the year, 7 hours a day, and who's doing more with your child? You know, they have them for, I know parents are doing somersaults because the school holiday is short,
yes.
So they have less time with it. But,
okay, so we have a caller.
Okay.
We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who am I speaking to?
I just like it, you're in the moment, it's fine.
Okay, no problem, no problem. Please go ahead.
You know, I'm in the governing body for over 22 years. I'm a mom as well. And I always say, it's what we teach our children from home. And that's what we take with.
Yes.
And, you know, I can do a simple incident. When one of the kids was smoking, so the principal called the father. So he said, what's your problem? I give him the money to smoke in front of the learner. So then, you know, where's the drawing line? Where's the respect?
Exactly.
Like you said, like all your callers, they brought all the pertinent points up, and I agree with all of them, and you go through that. You know, you have a discipline, actually, it's just, you know, and I always say, Muslims, we've been taught about respect, about punctuality, and your teachers are your substitute parents.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, and definitely anything comes from home, because one of the mothers said to me, yeah, but your school is like this. I said, excuse me, ma, you have one or two kids at home. That teacher has a class of 35, 40 plus.
Exactly.
She's not a disciplinarian. She's supposed to actually teach a lesson. If she spends 15, 20 minutes disciplining your child, what time has she got for lesson?
Exactly, what time
do
you
have to do? Parents do what we need to do from home. It's going to make it easy for you guys at school, and it's going to make it easy for the children to learn and respect. And respect goes a long, long way, not only now, but for the rest of your life. And, you know, and it is very challenging today to be a teacher.
No, 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 most definitely.
It's very hard. Allah make you follow you. But we
have
to start doing what we're supposed to do.
Most definitely. And sister, you will agree that when it comes to respect and manners, that is not the responsibility of the teacher to teach. That
absolutely
is the responsibility of the parents. From the time your child is able to walk and talk, that manners must be inculcated into
absolutely
them, that they show respect
said,
for everybody.
You know? Yes, and like how I recall it said, that salam, that good morning, sir, good morning, ma'am. You stand there, you see the kids go past the principal, and you know, make a salam or say hello, sir, good morning, sir.
A simple thing.
And I said, sir, where's all this gone? Like, what's happened? He said, they don't greet. Don't worry, they don't greet. And, you know, we have to, I think, we must just start basics and sit our kids down. So this is part of life.
Of course.
Forget what the media and the West and whatever, whatever goes. But even there, they have these kind of rules.
They do.
And we need to just start from the basics. But Allah, making you follow you and
Ameen.
You all of you.
Ameen.
If it wasn't for teachers, where would all of us be trained? You know, Molanas, our apples. It's the same for all of them. Where is Madrasa school?
Yes. Please even remember us in your dwellings.
Yes. Yeah. So, I'll make it easy and thank you. You all have such lovely talks. I just love
it.
We learn so much from them as well.
Jazakumallah khair. Please remain tuned in every Saturday, inshallah. Jazakumallah.
Oh, I do.
Jazakumallah khair.
Right.
Ameen. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Very, very pertinent points. Very pertinent. One more thing I just would like to just add on. You know, over the years, I'm not going to say for how many years I've been teaching, because anyone's going to know how young I am.
Of course.
I won't say old, I'll say young. But you know, the once there was an incident, and a very close colleague of mine, someone whom I love and respect so dearly, and she told me, the only thing that you are guilty of, my darling, is that you care too much. And that's like you just said right now. We spend so much of time with children that they become like ours. I mean, there are times when you have children in your class who would actually call you mama. They would actually call you mommy or mama.
You have that.
And you have that.
You just smile and move on.
You do.
You know, the abuse, the denigration of teachers, right? That's important, because I'm sure you've heard when there's a whole little gathering going on. So what do? You know, our aunties are very what?
Yes.
What are you doing and what do you do? And then, oh, you're just a teacher.
Yeah.
You know that. It's like almost this anticlimax.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And children hear that. So if you have that this profession is so low-key, everyone thinks that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's this quote. It's a beautiful quote that says, what nobler employment or more valuable to the state than that of a person who instructs the rising generation? We are molding everybody else for the future. But because of the abuse of teachers and the disrespect, fewer and fewer people want to follow the profession.
Mm-hmm.
So now, unfortunately, you're getting people doing teaching, so to say, because it's a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
But people that have the passion, that have the love for it, don't want to do it anymore because they see what's happening around them. So what do you get? You're getting people instructing your children that shouldn't be,
mm-hmm.
because those mm-hmm. that should be are doing something else now. And that all comes back from, oh, so it's just a teacher.
But again, I just have to bring something up. That maybe that attitude of, oh, you're just a teacher, is something that we need to stop doing. Because if we have to look at the European countries, because they always refer to the education system in Finland, when you see those videos of the wonderful, remarkable things that are happening in the countries in Europe, and if you know what the teachers are getting paid and the respect that the teachers are given, and you'll sit and you wonder, is this mindset just here? Is it just in this country?
Go back to Germany, Angela Merkel, we all know her, right?
Yes.
Chancellor. And she was questioned by a doctor
mm-hmm.
as to why the teachers are being paid so well,
mm-hmm.
higher than some of the medical people. And the response was, who taught you? Why are you where you are? So those people should be paid well, because they are educating everyone else, so your doctors, your lawyers. How are they there if it wasn't for all of us?
Well, your teachers.
But we are the lowest rung on the hierarchy of professions.
But that perception, like you said, needs to change. And the other thing is, again, when it comes to giving respect, you know, there's that other saying that I give the same respect to the CEO as I do to the janitor.
100%.
It doesn't matter what is your job. It doesn't matter what car you drive, how much of money you have. You give respect to everybody because that builds character.
Respect begets respect.
Exactly.
So you treat the street cleaner the same like the toilet cleaner, like the professor.
Exactly. I mean, your careers are just a title.
Exactly.
Title.
I think something that needs also to be brought to the fore is that if we are speaking about teachers and we're speaking about parents, we're actually speaking about the adults in the education system. We're not speaking about the learners particularly.
Yes.
And I think something that needs to be put out there is that adults should act as adults. You know, many a time we have, like Sister Shana is mentioning here as well. She says, you know, when we're in company, there is an adult is belittling another adult.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the very same thing we are speaking about. Disrespect starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
And if one person turns around and say, oh, is that all you do? And you, the other person already feels guilty. And then the next thing is that we expect our children to turn out differently to us. Mm. So we're advising them one thing, but we're practicing something else altogether. And I think this is very problematic. In fact, when the caller phoned in, mashallah, while she was speaking, you can hear the experience. She's a seasoned teacher, subhanAllah. Yes. And I was thinking, I wish she was sitting here with us. I don't know if you had the same sentiment. And something she said so important is that, you know, simple thing like greeting. This is where respect starts. And many a time we find that parents will not greet a teacher when they see them. They will walk into the school. They will walk right by you, and many a time they'll turn around and say, well, the teachers don't greet, but we do. Wallahi, I have seen it, we do, and the parents turn the other way. So this is also another thing. We want our children to grow up respectful, but we're not showing them the correct methods. We're not being that particular role model that we should be.
I just want to throw a little point in there before you carry on. You know, the respect, the greeting and stuff. I have to tell you that I must actually take a photo of it and show it to you next time. I made a little sign where my secretary is at school. There's a cubicle where you come in, so children come and see and ask, and parents and so forth. And I've put something up there that says, please and thank you are magical words that still exist for people of all ages. Because a child will come in, her upper one's that, and I'll shout from my office because I can hear, please, thank you, jazakallah. It's not there because it's not being used anywhere. You can see a child, not all, you know, forgive me if I'm saying all. There's some that will come in, Appa, please, you know, very politely. But the others, and even if you go to a store, for example, give me that, or I want five of this. No, uncle, please. It doesn't matter who the person is, but that's how. Mm. But sometimes the children are with their parents when they're talking like that, and the parent does not
correct.
So true. And if a child brings me something, I will use the please or thank you, even though it might be someone in grade R.
Of course, but you're showing them that respect. Now, sisters, we're going to need to be rounding up. So, like we said, you know, I started off the conversation saying there's no them and us. You know what? As long as there's going to be hostility, there's not going to be any productive teaching going on. Your child's going to come to school with this chip on their shoulder. The teacher's going to have these issues with this child. We don't want that. We want a happy class. We want a happy environment. Happy children learn well. So how do we break this them and us? Like we said, open communication, mutual respect. I would say mutual respect. I mean, again, in all fairness, you can get difficult teachers. I'm human. I must have also been difficult over the years. I'm sure their parents listening and saying, she's also been difficult, which is the truth. But when we have issues and when we sit down, when we walk out of that meeting, everyone must be happy. It must be a win-win situation, because at the end of the day, the trophy, the prize is your child.
Is your child.
Exactly. People forget that the asset there is the child.
Yes.
The little piece of gold is the child. And what you're putting through into that child goes with this child for life. So it's a two-way street. Respect begets respect for all ages. Doesn't matter if you're parent and child, child and teacher. Teachers also need to realize sometimes, and they again will be honest about it, that sometimes they don't have to always be as defensive as they are sometimes. Maybe you know, sometimes you just feel that the parent is picking on me, or I'm trying so hard and they're always finding fault. So when you have that meeting or whatever, they go in guns blazing and they become defensive. And teachers need to learn that, no, you compromise. You sit in a discussion. You analyze, you discuss, and you come to a mutual agreement or understanding for what is best for the child.
Exactly. Sister Fima, do you want to add on?
Yes, if you don't mind. Firstly, I just want to mention, you know, something that we keep telling children, and I think this applies to us as well, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Like, they will have consequences for their actions, immaterial, whether it's in class or out of class. We as adults are answerable for our tongue. We are answerable for our actions. We are answerable for what we do. And sometimes, yes, unfortunately, situations do call for an I'm sorry. And maybe as teachers and parents, we both can say, look, I was out of line. I had a bad day. Or you know what, this was the issue, but I pointed out on that. So I think be aware that Allah is watching us. And the other thing is have sincerity. As teachers, when we walk into that classroom, genuinely be there for the pleasure of Allah. Be there to make the difference in this child's life. Like you said, the nugget of gold is our kids. It's all the learners. And I think parents also trust us. Trust us teachers out there, because alhamdulillah, there are teachers that are willing to go the extra mile on every single occasion. So, inshallah.
Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. I would just like to say, from my point of view, being an educator, I can often say, alhamdulillah, I think I'm truly blessed. If we have to, I think between the three of us, if we have to actually sit down, put all our years of experience together and the incidents that have happened and what we've seen, it would take months, it would even take years. Because, you know, every child you meet, is a gift from Allah.
100%.
The difficult child teaches you patience. The humble child teaches you, you know, you in awe at what the child can do. And even when you meet parents, you know, when a parent comes to you at the end of the year, or it could be any time during the year, and they come to you and they tell you, thank you. Or jazakumullahu khairan. Parents, you have no idea what that means
100%.
To us. I just want to end off with this, right? I have to share this with our listeners. Last year, December, you know, during when it comes to foster, I become very, very emotional. Because I'm teaching grade ones currently, and when you see how much they've progressed in the year and how big my little mini children have become, in term four, you become very emotional to let them go because you know where you started with. And on the last day of school, when parents needed to come and pick up their report, a whole lot of parents, and some bring gifts. I feel very uncomfortable when they bring gifts because I feel this is my job, but they insist they want to. And I had this one mom come to me. And she waited. She was standing there for a while, and she had, she had a hot, she had a cup in her hand, and she had some hot water with her. And I looked at her, and I was wondering, okay, is she making something for her little daughter or something? And she comes up to me, and she says, "You've had a long year. You've had a busy, tiring year, Madam Bibi Aisha. I want to make this hot chocolate for you. It's a nice hot cup of hot chocolate. And I want you to just sit back and please enjoy this cup. And it's made by me in front of you with love. Jazakumullahu khairan for what you've done for my daughter Joeria." I burst out crying. I was crying. I had other parents in the class and they asked me, I think they all heard what happened. I just started, I couldn't even drink it. And she stood there and she says, "Please drink this.
Better than the lint, better than the everything."
I'm telling you, I was so taken back. I've been teaching for so many years, but the way I cried when she said that, that meant so much to me. I remember I went up to the office, and my principal came running to me, and she's like, "Is everything okay?" And I couldn't even talk. I was crying so much. But I told her, you know, I was so touched by what this parent did. It meant so much to me. I can say I'm already becoming sorry. Anyway, jazakumullahu khairan for sharing your expertise with our sisters. May Allah reward you in abundance for the exceptional work that you are doing in educating and empowering our future generation. To my beloved listeners, please remember, you know what, your teacher is like your parent. We want only the best for you. We always have and we always will. Next week, inshallah, we're going to be speaking about teenpreneurs. So, you know, we hear entrepreneurs all the time where we have lots and lots of budding youth that are thinking, listen, I need extra pocket money, but I'm going to capitalize on it. I can't always run to my parents, so I'm going to make a lot of money on the side, and they are doing a phenomenal job. So we're going to be talking about teenpreneurs. Please tune in again next week. Inshallah, have a good week. All of those that are writing exams or matriculants, may Allah grant you success. Jazakumullahu khairan. Until we speak again next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.